Welcome to our week number two here in our waiting room series. Glad to have you along for the ride. And if you are here again for the very first time, I just want to personally welcome you as well. So glad that you are with us here on this Sunday. And we're coming off of a lot of just incredible weeks that's been happening around here. Just very thankful. We, four weeks ago, celebrating 4 years as a church, and Easter seeing 63 people make decisions for Jesus. And then last week, 27 people baptized. Come on, God's doing something in this place. Amen, everybody. Amazing. Come on, to God be the glory. And so just amazing to see what is happening, what God is doing. Go ahead, grab your message notes if you already haven't. And I want to get right into this today because I'm just real stirred by this series. And we just got off to, I think, and I hope, a great start last week. And I really know that God is using this series, and I believe in not just a powerful way, but I think it's real timely for many of us that's here. Because how many feel like you're in a waiting room right now? Just kind of wave at me a little bit. Yeah, a lot of us feeling like we're in a waiting room. So a lot of times we don't know what to do in the midst of our waiting. So that's what this series is about, and finding God's will as we're in this time. And so if you missed last week, I want to tell you, and I really want to encourage you to make sure you go online and get the message. I told Bethany this week, I don't know that I'm allowed to really have favorite types of messages to preach because I just enjoy what I do. But last week was probably one of my favorite messages I've preached. And I just encourage you so much. If you missed it, I really believe it was for you. And just make sure you get that because it's going to go right along with this series as we begin here today. And we're kind of really building off of last week. But last week we talked about that if we're going to wait, we're going to go ahead and get to work, and that God, in the midst of our waiting, can use your waiting room experience to be one of your most productive workrooms for your life. And one of the thoughts that I shared last week was something real personal that God had showed me some years ago, that you may be, the waiting room that you may be in may not be where you want to be, but it may be exactly where God needs you to be. And sometimes that's tough for us to accept, but nonetheless, God has a purpose in the midst of our waiting, and that's what we have to grow and discover, what it is that God is trying to show us in whatever season or whatever waiting room that we are currently in. And so look at the person next to you and say, what are you waiting for? Come on, turn to the other person and say, hey, go get your own goat. Because if I have a subtitle to this title of this message today, I almost titled it this way, go get your own goat. So you may want to write that down because I'm going to talk about a story here that has to do with you getting your own goat. Come on, somebody, all right? And so I want to start off this morning in Isaiah chapter 40. And I'm really stirred by this series. I just know that God is trying to set you and I up, and he's trying to set this church up for what he wants to do next. And there's so many things that God has left to do in your life. And I just want to continue to encourage you, let us be a people that believes God for more and just doesn't stay comfortable with where we're at. Come on, can you say a good amen today? I don't know about you, but I'm just not satisfied with where I'm at. I want to continue to grow as far and go as far as I can with the Lord. But Isaiah chapter 40, honestly, is some verses that I grew up knowing in the church. And for many years, saw it as one way. And I believe that God is really revealing some really powerful things here that I'm going to show you, that even if you don't know this scripture, you're going to find it real easy to understand. And it's part of what I'm going to teach you here today. But even if you've heard these scriptures before, I think God's going to teach you something brand new here this morning. Verse 27, we're going to start here. It says, why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? A lot of questions coming up here. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable, and he gives power to the strong. Come on, just making sure you're paying attention this morning. No, he gives power to the weak, to the faint. Because if you were strong, how many know that you wouldn't need strength this morning? And it says, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait, everybody say they who wait. Come on, they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So what I want to do for the next couple minutes is get real simple with this scripture. And a lot of times I think we read scriptures like this, and it's an inspiring type of scripture. It's a hopeful type of scripture. But a lot of times we miss the emphasis within what God is trying to show us or to tell us. And so what I want to do is I want to take a couple minutes and just kind of extract some things that God is trying to say in just these five verses. And so I want to give you some elements of waiting, and they're in your notes. And so I want you just kind of work with me this morning as we go along, because each verse has something to it that signifies what waiting really means and the process of waiting. And so verse 27, you can write this down in your notes, is understanding a lot of times this is where we come to in the place of waiting, that we want what we want. That we want God to hear us, and then we want God to respond immediately. And so in verse 27, you notice the questions that's happening here. And so a lot of times you and I have those same questions, and then we get real frustrated sometimes with God because it's not happening like you thought it should be or when you thought it would be. And so there we are. We want things how we want them. And then verse 28 is real powerful, because in the process of waiting, this is what you're going to discover, that we want what we want, but then learning to discover in this verse 28, who God is. Verse 28 said that he is the everlasting God and that he doesn't grow weary. How many are thankful that your God doesn't grow weary? How many know you and I can grow weary, but he doesn't grow weary? I'm thankful for that. That he never gets tired. And he never gets tired of ministering life to you and me. And I believe this, that we'll never fully be capable of fully understanding God's works and his timing, because later on in the book of Isaiah in chapter 55, it tells us that his ways are higher than our ways, that his thoughts are not our thoughts, and that we need to be thankful for that God is way ahead in this process and in this journey than you are. And so we've got to trust him in who he is. And then in verse 29, you jot this next one down, is understanding within this verse what God gives us. And we're going to build with this scripture a lot in this message here today. The Bible said there in verse 29 that he gives power to the strong. Come on, testing you. Where you at, church? Come on, power to the faint, power to the weak. Not a trick question, all right? And he increases that strength in those who have no might. And guess who that is? That's us. God's saying, when you're tired, when you're weary, when you're exhausted, I'm going to give you the strength that you need. I'm going to give you the might that you need to be able to pursue and to go on. And then verse 30, I love this, because in the process of waiting, and hopefully as you're seeing this, you're identifying, man, I've gone through some of these things, or I am going through some of these things. Is the next one, jot this down, is how we feel. We start identifying with our feelings and our emotions, which can be a dangerous place if you're not careful. A lot of times we make some of the most critical decisions based upon out of emotion or a feeling, which can ultimately destroy your life if you're not careful. And so in verse 30, it says it identifies that we get weak. It identifies that we get tired. And guess what? Even the strongest of people that you know get tired. They get weak. They have struggles just like any other person does. And then I love verse 31, because it's a call now. And you can jot this last one down. It's what we do. And I'm going to spend some time this morning in helping us to really understand verse 31 of this scripture. But I think it's important that we've got to be less concerned about what God can do for us while we're waiting, and be more concerned with what we need to do while we wait. Can you say a good amen today? And so here's what I know, that during this message, there's moments I think that are real sobering for us, because here's what I know, that this is something that God is dealing with many of us on. And some of us, most of us, a lot of hands went up, are finding ourselves in some kind of waiting room. So I want to share two stories today, and then we're just going to kind of roll with it. All right. I wanted to share Isaiah 40, because we're going to refer back to this story. And then I wanted to share the story of out of Luke chapter 15 about the prodigal son. Now, you may not know this verse, and if you do, awesome. If you're not, it's all good, because there's something I'm going to point out that I think is a lot different than maybe what we've ever seen within this story. The story, and I'm just going to kind of summarize a little bit, and then we're going to read a few verses here together this morning. But there was a young man, he and his father, and he was the youngest son, and went to his dad and asked for his inheritance really prematurely, because he got tired of waiting. And so he goes to his dad and he said, I want everything that is mine. And, you know, there's a reason why inheritance is supposed to wait. until a certain time. That's a whole nother message. But he's in the place, and the dad responds. He says, okay, I'll give it to you. And so he gives his son the inheritance. And the next day, the Bible says that he packed everything up and then made the decision that he was just going to jet. He was going to get out of town. So I'm going to kind of put this in 2016 terms for us just to kind of understand this morning. But so he goes on this trip. And the Bible talks to us about that he just spent everything he had on wild living. So, man, he was partying it up. Man, he was out everywhere doing everything. And I mean, just spent everything he had. Went back to Chase, checked his bank account, and found out it was sitting on zero, baby. Like everything that his daddy gave him was all of a sudden gone in just a short time because he used it on what he wanted to use his money on. So there he found himself in the midst of all kinds of adversity and wondering what I'm going to do. Well, then he goes and serves another man in his work and finds himself, the Bible talks about, in the midst of a pig pen. Now, how many know pig pens will get a little messy? And so finds himself in the midst of a mess. The Bible even talked about that he was so hungry that even the food for the pigs seemed enticing to him. He was how many of y'all know that's some desperation right there? You know, because if you're hungry, you may eat anything, right? And so there he was in the place. He was very desperate for food, and he realized he had a moment that it hit him. He's thinking, man, what am I doing? Man, I'm living it up, doing what I want. Now I have nothing. And even the servants of my daddy are eating well. And here I am in a pig pen and trying to figure out what I'm going to eat next. Man, I think I need to go back. And I need to reconcile that relationship and work it out. So he goes back. And the Bible talks about his dad saw him from a distance coming. And the servants are all noticing it. And you got to take notice in this story of his older brother. Because his brother, this is where I'm going to spend our story of building this this scripture around is him. Because it's important to see his response or lack thereof. In verse 28 it says, your brother is back. He was told, and your father has killed the fattened calf. We are celebrating because of his safe return. And the older brother was angry. Notice this, and he wouldn't go in. He was mean mugging, man. He was not happy with what was going on. His father came out and begged him. But watch the reply here that's so interesting. All these years, the son, older son talking to his daddy, all these years I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me to do. And all that time you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends, but yet when this son of yours comes back after squandering his money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the fattened calf. Now, I think it's interesting that, man, the older brother, you can tell, like, he is not happy. There's some rage going on in this brother. Like, he is not happy that his younger brother's coming back after spending everything he had, and they're throwing him a party. And they've killed the fattened calf, but watch what his dad responds with. And he says this, look, dear son, you have always stayed by me. For some of you are in a place today that you feel like this. That God, I have stayed faithful to you. I have been loyal to you. But man, I'm just not seeing things happen like I think they ought to be. What's the deal, God? Are you not hearing me? Are you deaf? What's going on? This is some real frustration that some of us have with the Lord. And this story that Jesus is depicting, it relates, yes, to a father and a son, but it relates to me, you, and our God. And so he's here, and he says this, dear son, you've always stayed by me, and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he is found. One of the things I want to bring together in these two scriptures that I think is so amazing out of Isaiah 40 and Luke 15 that we just read is this is a place where the people were at where they were frustrated. And they were frustrated because they wanted God to do something and they felt like God wasn't doing it. Isaiah 40 was in a place where the people were actually getting ready to go back into captivity and they felt like God has just forgotten them. How many of you have ever been in a place where you feel like God has forgotten you? Maybe you're in that place right now that you feel like God is so distant from you that you don't know what to do next. And I'm here to tell you, it's real feelings, real emotions that we have. You and I are human. We experience these things in our journey. And I'm just telling you, there's purpose. Everybody say there's purpose. and whatever you're doing and whatever is going on in your life. Verse 27 of Isaiah 40 said, "Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord and my right is disregarded by my God?" Because here's the truth. Some of us are frustrated. And what I'm trying to do is kind of shock us back into reality to get you and God back on the same page again. And how many have ever submitted some claims before? Maybe to your insurance or, come on, car insurance. Wave at me. How many have ever done that before? Medical insurance. Talk to me, somebody. Oh, yeah. Can be very frustrating at times. You know, one of the things that Bethany did for many years is she worked for a medical company and she did customer service, but she also helped process and work within claims. And I'm telling you, it is a hardcore business when you are receiving complaints from people. Lord, have mercy. And there were days, and she'll tell you, and I would come in, she would be in tears because of the complaints and the claims that were brought in, and wasn't even her fault. It was somebody else's fault, but yet she took the brunt of it because she was the easiest one to talk to and submitted the claims to the claim department and were frustrated because things weren't getting done. I remember coming in some days and she just in a mess, just crying because people cussing her out. Yeah, I remember she just lifted up her earphone one day. She said, "Listen to this," you know, and just people just going crazy. Nobody does that in America, do they? I don't think, not our country, right? But no, people upset. And here's what happens is you and I have submitted a lot of claims to the claims department to the Lord. And there's a lot of times that your claims have not been processed or answered, and we get frustrated like that. Sometimes we even get mad. Come on, am I talking to anybody? And so we're in that place that we think, well, God is just ignoring my claim. He's just ignoring what I'm going through and the pain. And I think it's interesting that here the older son in Luke chapter 15 is in a place where he's looking for his daddy to bring him a goat. He's looking for his own party, but nobody's throwing a party. He's saying, "God, I've been faithful. I've been running with you for a long time, been loyal to you, and yet ain't nobody throwing me a party. But yet we throw it for my brother who's been doing whatever he wants." The point was, his daddy was trying to make the son that you've always been next to me. And there was a moment that your brother, man, he just got lost in it. And we thought he was gone for dead. But he came back home. So we're celebrating that he was once lost and now he's been found. And so he's upset, though. The older brothers, he's kind of got his arms crossed. And we do this. Have you ever seen your kids do this? You know, the arms crossed, just kind of looking at you sort of thing. But you know what? We do this with God oftentimes. If we get upset, we kind of cross our arms at God and just say, okay, you know, have this kind of whatever type of attitude. And, you know, hear the music in the other house is bumping, man. Like they're having all, it's a party, you know what I mean? They're eating, man, they're dancing, it's a party up in there. And then the older brother's just mean mugging and say, "Man, I ain't having nothing to do with that. No, I'm good, man. You know, that's nice, that's celebrated, but for me, you know, nothing's happened." And here's the thing that I was thinking about this week that I want us to get today, that I think oftentimes your definition of waiting is different than God's definition of waiting. And that's what I want us to see within this scripture today as we continue to work in this together. And I want to give you this example just as it relates to how God looks at waiting and time much differently than you and I, because he said this in 2 Peter chapter 3. He said, "Don't forget this one thing, dear friends, with the Lord a day, everybody say a day, it's like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day." He sees time a lot different than you and I do. But watch this. "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise." Somebody needs to hear that today. Yes, somebody needs to know really everything is right on schedule, but you have got to learn how to trust in the process of whatever God is doing and knowing that God knows better than you do. "As some understand slowness." I like that. "Instead," here it is, I love this next part, and I'm so glad for this. "Instead, he is patient with you." He's patient with me. Aren't you glad that he's patient? Aren't you glad that no matter how many times you screw up, he's patient, that he never stops loving you, that he never stops believing in you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So when God says, "Wait on me," he's saying, "I don't want you to get passive. I want you to get active." Waiting is not a cry to get passive and to just wait. And I think what we need to do is we got to clarify what waiting really looks like and what it means. God's purpose, you have to realize this, God's purpose and your plan, his plan for your life always prevails if you submit to the process and where he's got you. I don't know about you, but I want to submit to everything that God has for me, and I don't want to wait any extra time. God always has the last word, and for many of us, we've submitted those claims to the claim department, and no matter how long it takes to see that claim purposed and done with, you've got to keep moving forward. I'm going to say it again. You got to keep moving forward. Isaiah 40, 31, again, it says, they who wait for the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And I think some of the time, the reason why this is a problem for us is because we get more focused on what God is not doing versus what God is trying to do in me. And we get stuck. We get stuck in this place, and we get frustrated at God when God is saying, I need you to continue to move forward. You may not be where you know you're called to be yet, but what I need you to do is trust me in the process. What I need you to do is be patient and continue to move forward in Jesus' name. And so I think that's why. And so don't wait for God to do something. Be obedient to his call and whatever he has in your life and whatever he's purposed to do, because it's time to move forward. And I don't know about you. I shared some of this story last week about the children of Israel when God brought them from Egypt, out from Egypt. And actually, I'm going to go back to this story and teach you something today. Then to the Red Sea experience, parts the Red Sea, goes to the desert, on their way headed to the promised land. Again, it should have taken them 2.5 weeks to get from the desert to the promised land, but took them 40 years. I don't know about you, but I'm telling you, this is messing with me in this series over these last few weeks as I've been praying. And my prayer is, God, I'm begging you, whatever it is that you're trying to show me in my life, let me get now. I don't want to waste 40 years of my life trying to go around the same thing, learning the same thing. I got to get this now. Because we don't know how much time we have, gang. We have one life. You can spend your life any way that you want, but you only get one shot at this thing. And I don't know about you, but my prayer is, God, I want to use my life for your purpose. Because it's not about what I want. It's about what you want for my life. Can somebody say amen? And I think this, I think what we call waiting sometimes can be a form of spiritual procrastination. Because Isaiah chapter 40 is suggesting this, on waiting on God involves action, effort, energy, obedience. Those who wait on the Lord don't sit around, don't lay around. They move forward. They move in the place of God. They mount up with wings like eagles. They will run. Notice the action that's involved in the power of that verse. And I think what tends to happen is that procrastination tries to mask itself as being patient. I'm preaching good. All right. It's quiet. Quiet in this Presbyterian church. All right. But they that wait on the Lord take action. They keep moving. They understand that even though it hasn't been worked out, there's purpose in what God is doing in my life. And so I'm going to keep moving forward. Look at the person next to you. Say, I'm going to keep moving forward. Come on, say it like a minute. I'm going to keep moving forward. So here's what we've got to do. I want to give you a couple simple things this morning that I think is going to help. And we've got to keep moving forward. Moving forward. Number one is sometimes God is actually waiting on you. Sometimes God is actually waiting on you. Philippians chapter 4. We sang some of this today in one of our songs this morning. Chapter 4, verse 13. I want y'all to help me read this if you would this morning. It's a very simple verse. Y'all ready? Here we go. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Come on, one more time, just because you sound so good. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens. I can do all things. Not some things, all things. Why? Because of Christ that lives in you. The hope of glory. That there's nothing too big for your God. And for some of us, we're in a place and we're searching And the very answer that you need is understanding that verse of scripture that he lives in you. And because of him living inside of you, nothing is impossible. I'm so glad I serve a God who laughs at impossibilities. That when men say things are impossible, that God comes alongside you and I and says, oh, it's possible. It'll work. You can be healed. Come on, amen, everybody? And so it's that kind of faith. You know, I was thinking this week, let me just kind of give you an example this morning. Everybody think about your favorite restaurant for a minute, all right? I'm doing this for a purpose because I know when I talk food to church folk, man, they respond, all right? So now you're already thinking about lunch, right? Think about your favorite restaurant. And we've got waiters and waitresses that serve in this church, and I think they'll really love their pastor after this, what I'm getting ready to say. They'll be, thank you, pastor, all right? And so, but think about it for a minute. Because a waiter or a waitress, they really don't really wait on you. You know what they do? Serve you. And they want you to have the best experience possible. Yeah, they'd like a great tip. And their hope is your trip to whatever restaurant is enjoyable with them, but ultimately that you'll come back and have another experience with them and enjoy it. I mean, know what I'm talking about. And this is sometimes our posture, I believe, with God. I think that we have contaminated the word waiting. And we think that we should just sit back and wait on God to come serve us. I'm just telling you, I'm just trying to help with some of our thinking. We've got to have a little bit of a paradigm shift in our thinking and how we're viewing some stuff. Because I'm telling you, if you can shift some of the things in your heart and how you're viewing things, I'm telling you, freedom is coming. And so for some of us, we're just waiting on God like he's some genie in a bottle to come serve us and just to do everything that we want him to do. And I'm telling you, God is saying, Kyle, anytime you want that goat, I've got a whole field of them. Go get you a goat, son. If you want a goat, go get you a goat. What are you waiting on? You know, one of the things I have fun with is with my kids. And it was funny because we were actually just doing this last night a little bit. And we like to wrestle in my house. I know how you call it. You call it wrestle. I call it wrestle. I grew up watching WWF. Come on, somebody, all right? Every man's soap opera. I get it, all right? I know it's fake. You don't have to tell me, all right? Ultimate Warrior is one of my favorite wrestlers of all time and the Junkyard Dog. Come on. Y'all have no idea what I'm talking about. That's okay. It's all right. And so, but we like to wrestle a little bit, have a little fun in my house. And so Ashton and Judah like to wrestle with me, and we'll wrestle anywhere we can go, man. Braxton's just not old enough yet, so he'll give him some too. But I have a little saying in my house with my kids that when it's wrestling time, you know what I tell them? I said, if you want some, come get some. You want some? Come get you some. And here's the deal. That with my kids, guess what? No, I don't always let them pin me. Because if I always let them win, then they'll have a dysfunctional view of the world they live in. So their daddy pins them too. And I win. 1, 2, 3. You want some? Come get. And can I tell you, that's what God is saying to some of us this morning. You want some? Come get some. You want to start that new ministry? Come get some. You want to start that new business, that new ministry, that new small group? Come get you some. You want some? Come get some. Look at the person next to you. Tell them you want some. Go get you some. You want some. God said, hey, there's a whole field of goats. Go get your own goat. Let's party. Let's go celebrate. We've got thousands of people in our city that don't know the name of Jesus right here in Fort Wayne. You want some, Elevate City? Come get you some. This ain't no country club, gang. Because when we see 63 people make decisions for Jesus, I'm telling you, we're praying for every 63 and praying they get discipled, praying they get baptized and have an experience with God. Man, I hope you're getting this so far. Number two is you got to understand this. Don't wait on him passively, but serve him proactively. Don't wait on him passively, but serve God proactively. It's interesting in the story of the prodigal son there, the older brother stood back, arms crossed, not happy with the party that's going on next door. And he was having a little bit of a pity party. I've never had a pity party. Those are some bummer type moments, man. Those are terrible moments, aren't they? Let me just tell you. The next time the enemy invites you to a pity party, refuse to show up. Yeah, because ain't no worth going through the doom and gloom. But we've got to learn how to come out of those kind of moments with God, understanding that no matter what I'm going through, that if I want some, I'm going to come get me some. And understand that he's a God that loves me, that he's a God that's for me, he's a God that's right beside me, that's ahead of me, that everywhere that my foot treads, if God is for me, who can stand against me? And his father's response to his son for not giving him his own goat or his own party said, what are you waiting for? Got a whole field over here. And I love what his father's response. He said, everything is yours, son. You've been faithful, absolutely. But you got to understand, it's a heart thing right now that's going on in you. It's a little character thing going on. You need to understand what I'm trying to do. But there's always been this for you. It's always been here waiting for you. You know where the goats are at. Go get you your own goat. Have your kids, have you ever heard your kids say, man, I'm bored? And don't you want to like strangle your kids when they say, no, I'm just bored. Well, you know, I mean, that just like goes, it like pierces me. Like when I hear Ashton say that, I'm thinking, baby doll, like we've done everything that we've, you know, tried to do to provide some decent fun and entertainment when you're at home. Like you got more crap than anybody sometimes. Now, I don't say that to her. I'm talking to you, all right? But I'm thinking, girl, we got so much stuff. Like what you, like that dollhouse we got you for Christmas ain't been touched since Santa Claus came. What you talking about? And here's the frustrating thing, I think, for all of us. And what God is saying to you and me and what I say to Ashton, everything you need is here. Everything that you need, I've placed on the inside of you because I'm living in you. And I've told Ashton, I said, okay, and we try to do a good job of getting her outside when it's not snowing in April, but we're getting her outside. And exposing her to the yard, amen, that green grass, Lord have mercy, what's that? And coming out from indoors. But God is saying, everything that you need, I've given you. Matthew chapter 14, this is a powerful moment. I was reading this week, and the Lord just kind of just blew this up in my face. I thought this was so good, because here he is with his disciples. There's a bunch of people, there's 5,000 people, they're hungry. And the disciples are coming to Jesus saying, man, I think they all just need to go home. Check it out. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place. It's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food. Now, Jesus is always generous. Watch his response. He said, hey, disciples, hey, wait. They don't need to go anywhere. Notice what he says. You feed them. He put emphasis on the disciples. Feed them. Believe. Nothing's impossible. Feed them. And I know when I was reading this scripture, I thought, Lord, you had a frustrating moment with the disciples. I know you did. Because they still doubted. They brought the food and Jesus blessed it and fed the thousands of people that were present. And I think it's interesting that even the disciples were seeing the circumstance or the issue, but was forgetting who was standing next to them. A lot of you are so focused on your issue or your circumstance that you forget who's living inside of you. I'm telling you, the lion of the tribe of Judah who's roaring today lives on the inside of you, that there's truly nothing that is impossible for your God. And he said everything that you need has been provided for. You just need to tap into this today and believe with what I'm telling you today. Amen? And you know, and I thought the seed, if you've ever planted a plant, the seed never looks like it's enough, does it? Because you plant that little seed, but after some time and some watering, then a harvest can come. You say, man, I don't have any joy. God is saying, yes, you do. Yes, you do. I've given you some things to rejoice about. And let me just say this, because I think this is so important for us. And please know my heart today, wanting to encourage us so we can go from where we're at to where God wants us to be. But you got to be careful to never allow your current situation or your pain to diminish past victories in your life. The enemy is real good at trying to sabotage victories in your life and getting you to forget where God has brought you from. Never forget how far you've come. Never forget from where he's brought you from. So don't allow your situation or the enemy to mask away the things that God has already brought you through. Paul, here he is. We looked at Paul and Silas in their prison experience last week in Acts, and here he's in another prison experience. Glory to God. Philippians 4:4, and he's back in prison. Look what he says. With Paul and Silas last week, he was singing and hymns to the Lord and praying, and this week he said, hey, everybody, I'm in prison, but rejoice in the Lord always. If you didn't hear me, I'm going to say it again, rejoice. I want to make sure you get this, because no matter where you're at, rejoice. Find a reason to rejoice, because God has brought you through some things, and he's going to continue to bring you through where you're at right now in Jesus' name. Give God the praise and understand that where you're at is not where you're always going to be, that there's more to this. Say, if you're saying, God, give me joy, it's time to rejoice. Give me peace. God said, I'm right here. And then we pray sometimes for opportunities. We pray prayers, and I don't say this to offend anybody, so if you've said this to me, don't take this personal at all. All right, and just hear my heart in this. But we say things like, man, if you ever need any help, I'm here. And we make the same announcement every week here in our church, that if you have gifts and you've got abilities and you want to help make a change and change the world, go through our growth track. Come on, get on the team. What are you waiting for? Some of us, we've been waiting a long time. For what? What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? It's time for some of us. We've been sitting on some of God's gifts in our life, and God is saying, it's time to get in the game. Guess what? This church needs leaders to rise up, because we got thousands of people in this city that are going to be reached. And guess what? This is a multi-campus church in the future, so it's not going to be just us. We're going to have other Elevate City churches in our city. Oh, that's going to happen, everybody, just so you know. Yeah, and so here's our heart, is we're trying to raise up leaders and have a pipeline of leaders that are growing in the things of God that can help us at this campus and the future campuses. Why? So we can see a revival, not just in Fort Wayne, but in our great state of Indiana, that will affect our nation for the glory of God. Don't tell me it can't happen. I don't want to hear that, because my God is a God who busts through impossibilities, and it will happen. It's his vision. It's his dream. It's his timing. And God is saying, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Look at the person next to you. Ask him again, what are you waiting for? It's time to go get that goat. And the invitation, I'm telling you, God is giving us. He's saying, if you want a party, come in. Go get you a goat and come in. And if you want in on this party, let's celebrate. But remember who we are and what we're about. In the midst of our celebration, that we're going to continue to reach lost people that don't know Jesus, that we're going to continue to reach out to the restless people of our city, and we have purpose to help reveal to them so they understand where they're going. And that's what our growth track is all about, is seeing people connect in their gifts and in their call. If you want some, come get you some. But if you want to keep your arms crossed and folded, there's God saying, there's nothing more that I can give that you don't already have. And number three, is God just, he doesn't want to just send things down. But what he's trying to do is work some things out. We don't need to wait on God to send something down from heaven. He's already given us everything we'll ever need. This moment in Exodus 14 is powerful. We referred to it last week. I wanted to read it this week. Moses, we'll call him Mo because that's a cooler name. All right, Moses is pretty cool though, but Mo for short. All right, and so check this out. So again, God uses Moses to help bring the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of a place of slavery and bondage. And now they're at face to face with the ocean. I think I'll never get through this. They even started doubting Moses and saying, did you bring us here to die, Moses? Like, we should have stayed in Egypt. Think about that. Their complaints became so severe that said we were better off in bondage than we are right here, instead of trusting the God that was in Moses to lead. And it said this, and says, and Moses said to the people, do not be afraid, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And I think Moses' response was good. I think it was a great leadership thing to say, but it wasn't exactly what God was looking for, but it was good. And he goes on to say, which he will accomplish for you today, for the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. Amen. That's awesome. And the Lord's going to fight for you. You shall hold your peace. But now I want you to watch this. Watch this moment. And the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Everybody say, go forward. And here's what the Lord did. He said, he looked in Moses' hand. He said, you see that rod in your hand? See what I've placed in your hand? stretch it out over the sea and divide it. The children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. God is saying, for everything that you need, I've provided for, it's in your hand. What you've got to do is trust God enough to know that whatever he's placed inside of you is enough. And it's going to continue to carry you through for whatever it is that you're believing for. God looked in Moses' hand and said, that's enough. Go do it. Go forward. And God is calling us to go forward. Don't stand still. Move forward. I love this. Galatians 2:20. It says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me. Declare his goodness, his victory, his peace over your life, because God is pulling you through. And God is telling some of us right now, if you want you some, come get you some. And I just end it with this story right here. And some of you have heard this story. And if you've heard it, just you're going to have to hear it again, all right? But several, many, many years ago, when I was preaching, after I got down off the stage, after I was preaching this service, this elderly man came down and he put his hand on my shoulder and he just said, you know, man, I just want to thank you so much for the message tonight. And God just used it to touch my heart. That's awesome. I said, thank you so much. It's amazing. Glad to hear that, honor for you to say that. He said, but I want to tell you something. And he was troubling. He was having struggle to talk. And all of a sudden, he burst into tears. He said, I'm an old man now. He said, I don't have much time left on this earth. He said, but I want to tell you something. He said, never quit pursuing what God has placed in front of you. He said, I'm telling you, God is going to carry you. Stay focused on this call. Because he looked at me and he said, I was called as a young man to preach the gospel. And for many, many years, I kept saying one day, and I never did it. And now I'm old and I'm going to die soon. He said, but you have an opportunity to take whatever time that you have left and give it to the Lord. This man was at a place where God was calling him for years to go get his own goat. But for whatever reason, he didn't. And I just pray that's none of our story. That man's story impacted me so much for the rest of my life. I'll never forget it. That we never allow wherever we're at to take us from the plan and the purpose that God has. And your life's going to look different than the person on your left and your right. But that's why it's your life and God is writing your story. And I'm just encouraging today, in the midst of your waiting, let God write and finish your story, not your situation, not your circumstance. Trust in God. We bow your head with where you're at right now. Father, I thank you right now all over this room. God, many of us identifying, God, this place, again, that we've been in waiting, and you are stirring a call again. Lord, your word is very clear to us today that you don't want us to keep waiting. It's time that we get moving again. It's time, like you told the children of Israel, to go forward. And I speak that over every single person right now. God, that we would have a heart and an attitude and a spirit of might that says, I'm going to go forward with God. I've put in my claims to the claims department. God knows my needs. He knows my condition and knows exactly what's going on. But in the midst of my waiting, I'm going to pursue God. I'm going to serve. I'm going to continue to make a difference with my life. And in the midst of that waiting, you're going to start seeing God start answering those claims. Get ready. Get ready. And so, Father, we just submit our heart to you right now. We surrender all that we are to you this morning. Come on, just right where you're at. Just open up your hands just right on your lap right there. Just right there, real simple. God, we surrender. We surrender our hearts. We surrender our life. Everything that we are, we surrender to you right now. It's yours. And we just give it to you right now, Lord. And Father, I just thank you for your strength and your rest. And I pray as your people want some, that they come get some from you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Now, with every head remaining bowed, if you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you don't know him as God, you don't know him as friend, I just want to invite you real simple this morning to know him as your Lord. Lord just means surrendering your life to him and knowing him as your friend today. All over this room with every head bowed, all eyes closed for this moment. If that's you, say, you know what, Kyle, I need Jesus. I need that relationship. For some, you need to come back to him today and you realize that. Come on, all over this room, I want you to be real honest with God. Forget about people next to you. This is a moment with you. On the count of three, if that's you, I want you to shoot your hands straight up in the air. 1, 2, 3, all over this room. Say, that's me. Awesome. Thank you so much. Proud of you, sir. Thank you. Anybody else that says that's me, man, I'm putting him first again. Thank you, Jesus. Awesome. Thank you, guys. And we're going to pray this prayer. Scripture just says, just believe it with everything within you. Confess with your mouth that he's Lord. And we'll be saved. So let's say this prayer together, all of us in this church. Say, Jesus, I give you my life today. My heart and all that I am, I bring to you. Forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of my past. I declare I am born again. Thank you for loving me and leading me. I declare my future is incredible. In Jesus' name.